Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Burt Show.
Mike is here for Gen X versus Gen Z trivia, but I'm just going to give you a heads up right now that Abby is coming for you in about 15 minutes.
Why?
Because she thinks you're full of S.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything.
And I got audio proof to prove it.
Leave me alone.
She has audio proof to prove it, as she says.
That's like
a well said.
That's a sound that you're going to hear in your ears, Mikey.
All right, before that, let's do it here. Kristen, I don't even know what the score is at this point.
I don't either.
For Gen X versus Gen Z.
Is it on the schedule?
It's 18 Gen X, 21 Gen Z.
All right.
We can drink.
Time for Gen X versus Gen Z trivia. Gen X will be answering, or at least trying to answer, questions that Gen Z would know. Of course, it's from their generation. And vice versa. Kristen and I are behind, but steady.
Yes.
We haven't been falling more behind.
Okay. I want to throw, before we start the competition today, can I throw an idea out there?
Uh-oh.
All right.
There's a wrench in the gears.
So what we used to do when we did our generational trivia, right? If that generation got the answer wrong, the other generation had the opportunity to steal. I have a feeling we can end this sooner rather than later if we give each other the opportunity to steal.
Are you over it?
Yeah, sounds like someone's sick of Gen X versus Gen Z trivia.
She's Gen X. She's tired.
It's just my bones.
She's just tired. That's fine with me. I don't care.
Are we cool with stealing points? I mean, or do you want to keep it as is?
Everybody
has to be on board in order for this to happen.
I think we need our neutral fifth party Cassie to answer that for us. So the way the questions are tailored, like, you would absolutely get the opposite team's questions. So it's not really like it's up for everyone to debate. You may or may not know it. It should be obvious to each generation. So you could, but it'll end the game pretty soon and you'll just end up answering all the Gen X questions and they'll end up answering all the Gen Z.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going. All right, fine.
Why don't we put a limit on, rather than us just winning by two and that's when it's over.
Yeah.
What's the score right now?
It 21 is. 21 to 18.
21. Mm-hmm. 21 to 18. Whoever gets 25.
55.
55.
Come on.
At what 25. Age does Gen X start?
Well, Mikey wants us to go on to 150 because he gets paid every time he's in.
Come on, let's keep playing. I want to keep playing.
He wants to play to 1,000. Whoever gets to 25 first wins this whole thing.
All right.
Okay? 32. Come on.
There is no negotiation.
Oh.
All right.
Question one for Gen X. What is the code name of the villain in Pretty Little Liars?
Oh, the code name for the villain in Pretty Little Liars. I will tell you that Kristen knows the answer to this.
Is it A? I think it's a letter. Is it just a letter?
Never watched it. Have no
idea.
Come on, Kristen.
I have never seen one episode of Pretty Little Liars, but I feel like it's a letter for whatever reason.
F, because that's how I feel we are right now. Totally
effed.
Is that your final answer?
Sure, F it is.
F, that is incorrect. The correct answer was A.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it is.
It was.
No points. No points for Gen X. Good buffoonery move.
Damn it, Kristen. Why did you listen? I don't understand why you would listen to me.
By the way, if you're a Pretty Little Liars fan, if you go to Warner Brothers out in Burbank, California, and take the tour, you will see where it was filmed.
I've done that. It's pretty cool, actually. Tommy hooked me up.
Tommy's saying that as Pretty Little Liars' number one fan.
Kristen, you had it.
I know. I thought it was A.
No listening to me.
And guess what it was?
All right. Gen Z. Who played the villain Hans Gruber in 1988's Die Hard?
Ah-ha.
The actor?
Yes.
Who's that guy?
Is it Johnny Knoxville?
No. What? No, don't do the buzzer. That wasn't a real answer.
We have to discuss.
Hold on.
We have to.
Who was that guy?
Bruce Willis?
In what's the movie where he runs up the stairs and he fights? Rocky. What was the Russian enemy in that? His name was...
Why are you looking at me like I'm going to know the answer
to that? I'm talking out loud. Don't come down on
it's
me.
It's obviously Vladimir Putin.
Hold on. It's Vladimir something.
It's either Johnny Knoxville or Vladimir Putin.
I mean, if I had a nickel for every time those two got confused, I would not have a nickel.
Bruce Willis is in Die Hard, right? Is this one of those movies where like he plays like multiple characters?
I'm thinking... His name in real life could also be Hans Gruber. Is that the best we got?
No, it's not, Mikey.
Pretty good.
Hans Gruber is played by
Billy
Crystal.
Barney Fife.
Okay, we need to just pick one answer and move forward with
Can
it.
Can we go with Hans Gruber?
No!
Why?
That's,
all right,
that's
you don't, you, Johnny Knoxville's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not
away.
Johnny Knoxville. It's not Johnny Knoxville.
Do you guys remember Vladimir Putin in Jackass? He was so funny.
I'm just going to go, because the only person I know that's in Die Hard is Bruce Willis. I'm just going to say Bruce Willis.
That is incorrect. It is Alan Rickman.
Oh.
And here's a bone.
Snape?
Yes, Snape from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. Question two, Gen X. We're going to play a round of Name That Tune. Gen X, I need the title and artist of this song.
Artist and title?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I think that's Tate McRae.
Tate McRae, don't get greedy.
Tate McRae, myself.
Tate McRae. Look, you were right the first time.
I thought you were about to say Tate myself. Tate McRae, myself.
That is incorrect. It is Tate McRae, greedy.
Ended the clip.
Yes, it literally says greedy in the. I was about to throw a flag on the play. I was like, "Are you kidding?" It literally says greedy in the song.
Did that just happen?
We are working against each other.
What are the freaking odds?
And the second time I played it, I ended it on the word greedy.
I know, and I heard that.
The
but
first
I also,
and second time it said greedy in it.
Welcome to Team Buffoonery.
All right, Jen.
What is going on? Serious right now?
We are destined to lose this. Can we just get to 25?
Gen Z, name that tune, title, and artist.
That's obviously the world's most annoying song.
I only know it because it was an episode of Family Guy whenever they became a band. So I only know that band. I don't...
What's the band? Do you know the band? I know the song name.
Is the song name Comma Chameleon?
Karma Chameleon.
Karma Chameleon. I thought it was Comma Chameleon. What? Wow.
What's the chameleon doing?
Come a chameleon.
Ooh, that may be easier than the helium.
Stop saying it, Mikey.
The something, probably.
The sparks, the fairies, the ladders.
Come on, throw some of those out.
The chameleons.
We'll get the chameleons.
I got the song title. It's up to you to get the band name.
My brain has nothing. Do some of those for me real quick. Just a couple of
Karma
those.
Chameleon.
By the.
We got to end this round at some point.
By the Zookeepers.
Five. Four.
By the Strokes.
I know. I don't even know what the Strokes sing, but do the Strokes. The Strokes.
That is incorrect. It's Culture Club. Karma Chameleon by Culture
Club. Never heard of it.
All right, last round here.
Okay.
This might be the first time we play this and nobody gets anything.
Oh, no, that's happened before.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Gen X, what type of game mode is Fortnite best known for where 100 players compete to be the last one standing?
Say that again.
What type of game mode is Fortnite best known for where 100 players compete to be the last one standing?
Battle Royale.
That is correct.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah!
He's on X game mode.
He only knows that from wrestling.
No, I know that from my kids making me play that.
I was going to say party mode.
Not a bad guess.
That sounds more fun.
Released in 1984. This is for Gen Z. Released in 1984 on NES, this game was sold as a bundle with the console and Super Mario Brothers. What's the name of the game?
Nintendo 64?
Whoa, that's not a game.
No, wait, the game
that's
console?
A system. The console is called what, Cassie?
NES.
Oh, NES.
Pong is the classic, right? But Super Mario, that's already so far in the future. What's the one where Mario's the Donkey Kong?
On NES? No, I feel like that's a Nintendo thing.
Mario's on it.
Because
Why
the question
can't Donkey Kong
is. But
be on
any
it?
Is NES Nintendo?
I don't know.
I don't think it's the Nintendo Entertainment System.
So is it?
It could be the Donkey Kong game where he climbs up the ladders and you throw the barrels and you jump over the barrels.
I am working with the equivalent of one of those clowns where you're like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Why do I want to say Tetris?
You can say it if you want. I don't believe it's right.
I just don't think the game where the donkey climbs the ladder is going to be a solid answer
Why?
For us.
Why? Super Mario, Donkey Kong. They go right together.
What if it's just, what is it Super Mario Bros?
No. That's like the same game.
It's not a game.
We're going to need an answer here.
So the console in North America was sold in a bundle with the actual console, the Nintendo Entertainment System, mm-hmm. and the game Super Mario Brothers. There was one other game that came with it, and there's an iconic dog that came out of that game. That's all I'll say.
Iconic
dog.
What are we giving hints for?
Like Charlie Brown?
Because I feel like it was a very vague question, so I want to give them a little bit of a steer in the right direction.
You're the one that wrote the question.
Yeah, okay. And I realized maybe it wasn't so great.
There's no dog in any Mario, as far as I'm concerned. So it's not Mario.
Scooby-Doo.
Webkins.
No. Snoopy. So Charlie Brown and the three horses.
The name of the game was Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt?
Duck.
No clue.
Hunt.
We gained a point today.
Yay! We should have had three.
I know.
I can't even enjoy today because we screwed each other.
I know.
You stole Zac Efron from me, and now you're ruining Gen X versus Gen Z.
What's the score?
19 Gen X, 21 Gen Z.
All right, we're closing the gap. Closing the gap.
This is The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now is a great time to add tension to personality hires and break up the show as it's about to sign with Pioneer.
Just as we were taking off.
All right, so what's going on? Yesterday, there were some accusations thrown around here. Clearly, Abby was offended by it, said she had proof that you guys were sort of, I don't know, misgauging exactly what was said.
So I brought up a story that we recorded a couple of weeks back because this weekend I'm going to Charleston with my mom and my brother's fiance and her mom and a couple of her friends. And wanting to do something nice, wanting to do something altruistic, I decided to reach out to some bridal salons in our listening area, Charleston, South Carolina, to see if they would be interested in working with me on social media campaigns in exchange for some fancy bridal appointments. And I was like, my job's done here. I'm going to win sister-in-law of the year. This is so great. And I brought this story where I said, you know, I'm feeling a little upset because I planned this whole weekend and she had to cancel the first day because for some reason, one of her little friends needs her to drive her up to Charleston. And I was like, am I an a-hole for feeling some type of way about this? And they decided to come at me and basically say, that's not even the thing we want to come at you for. We just want to come at you for quote unquote flexing on your future sister-in-law. And I was like, what do you mean flexing, Jackson?
You have to admit that it's a little bit self-serving what you're doing. I mean, all I hear is I, me, 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 me. I'm going to win sister-in-law of the year. I decided to go out of my way to do all this stuff. I was bummed when she canceled, when it's her event. And so that's why we were coming at you. You were saying that you were trying to flex on the recording that we had about how much clout you have and the followers that you have in order for you to get her what she wanted, but maybe even not that.
May I submit a question here? What would be the difference between Abby going ahead and setting these up because she does have some influence in this area or just paying cash for it? Does that have any, is there a difference there for you guys?
Talking about it. That's the difference. It's not altruistic if you're like, I'm the best. I'm a good person.
I think it was the method with which she spoke about it because if I recall correctly, in the bit that you were talking about, you did specifically name how many followers you have.
It was with an air of facetiousness. So I'm going to play you the clip. And it's so evident that I'm trying to make a joke about how little of a deal I am by saying I'm a big deal. I'm clearly poking fun at the fact that I have little to no influence. So here is the clip. It is the first 41 seconds of this podcast that was recorded weeks ago. And I want you all to listen closely for the sarcasm, for the ha-ha-he-he in it, and for the fact that I'm not taking myself seriously when I'm talking about being a niche internet micro-influencer. Last week, I decided that my brother needed to break up with his fiance of 3 months. I think it is time for their relationship to come to an end. Because she wronged me in such an egregious way that I feel like our relationship will never recover.
Okay.
This has everything to do with me being a really big deal.
Okay, the old ego play.
If you don't know, if you head to my Instagram, you'll see that I have 21.6 thousand followers, making me a niche internet micro celebrity. And that means everyone should bow down to my every whim. And I was going to use my niche internet micro celebrity status to do a good deed. And she stomped all over it. And it's making me very upset. So clearly, there is a hint of ha-ha-hee-hee, sarcasm, facetiousness in there. I wasn't taking myself seriously. I was coming to you, people who I used to consider my friends, and I said, listen, am I wrong for feeling a certain type of way that I went out of my way and only for my efforts to get stamped upon?
It's tough to be sarcastic about your follower count when you have 21 times as many followers as I have. That's still bragging.
That's not saying a lot, Mikey. Just because you have four followers doesn't mean I'm bragging about my follower count.
It would have been way less sarcastic if you weren't able to use your influence to get this. But the whole assumption of what you're saying is that you can get what you want from this.
You guys are so completely, totally out of base. totally out of line on this whole thing. The whole thing clearly was tongue-in-cheek. Her saying she was a big deal, her flexing the amount, it was clearly a joke. So if you're in using your logic, then she would have been serious also about her boyfriend breaking up with the fiance, because she started with that joke, and that was clearly a joke.
That's a lot coming from Mr. 100,000 followers over here, protecting his little sidekick.
A little insecurity coming from Mikey over on the other side of the studio.
Listen, I know Abby the best. I've been on multiple trips with her, and I can tell you genuinely that that was 100% sincere and not a JK.
Goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You guys are haters.
It's a very interesting lesson on how things can be taken out of context.
Oh, yeah. I'm learning that these days. Anyway, Elton John has a very interesting piece of jewelry in his, not repertoire, what's the right word, like armoire. If you open up Elton John's jewelry case, you're going to find a very interesting pendant that was made from a part of his body. And this is something he requested after he underwent surgery.
When I had my kneecaps removed, the left one first and then the right, I asked my surgeon if I could keep the kneecaps, which he was rather startled about. Then I rang you and said, would you prepare to, if I gave you the left and the right kneecap, to do what you want with them?
So then he reached out to designer Theo Fennell, which is what I can only assume is how it's pronounced, because that sounds like the fanciest way. He turned to this designer and basically said, what can you do? How can you transform this into something I can wear forever?
We baked them. We had to bake them to get dry them out.
Okay.
Then they get rather like pumice stone. They're very porous. And so we had to paint them with acetate and then just polish them up.
So they turned it into a gold-plated necklace with a bone chain that has a Latin engraving meaning, I will no longer bow to any man. His left knee was then converted.
Because he can't?
Yeah, because he got no knee. His left knee was then converted into a brooch, and this is all going to be included in a documentary that's available on the World Gold Council's website and YouTube.
This is the most Elton John thing I've ever heard in my life. Of course he's doing this. Well, he's so eccentric. He's very eccentric, and he's a bazillionaire, so why not?
So here's my question for you. If you had to turn one body part into a piece of jewelry.
Oh, that's easy, because I asked for it, and the doctors refused to give it to me because it was hazardous material, and I wasn't allowed, like, they wouldn't give it to me even when I asked. But apparently, if you're Elton John, you can ask for a body part and they're going to give it to you. But I didn't have that clout, because when my husband lost his finger, I asked for the finger and they wouldn't give it to me.
They wouldn't? That's your finger, though.
Tell me about it. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's part of his body. He should be. But no, man, they looked at me probably the same way the doctor looked at Elton. They were like, excuse me? And I'm like, no, man, like, dude, I want half the digit. Like, I want the digit. And I could totally see taking that. Oh my God, I can already picture it. I would take it somewhere and they would turn it into like a ring dish, right? And the finger would be the thing that you could put your ring on.
Oh my God, stop.
Wouldn't that not be
That's
amazing?
Great.
Oh
so
my God,
great.
Ew.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
So way back in the day, I don't know when this new rule or this new law happened, but way back in the day when I had knee surgery and they cut some cartilage out of my knee, they gave it to me in like a little container with formaldehyde or whatever, and it sat in my drawer for years and years and years. So I don't know when that's changed.
So for me, if I was going to turn anything from my body into something, I would want the giant dorsal hump they shaved off of my face from my nose job. And I definitely want to turn that into a brooch just so every guy has to see what he didn't have to deal with when I underwent surgery 2 years ago.
That is not, it wasn't even a drastic change, it but was, you paid for it.
It is such a drastic change. If you look at old Burt Show videos, I don't even know who that is anymore.
I didn't even recognize. I mean, I couldn't even tell when you walked in the studio after your surgery that you had it done.
You're half blind in your left eye. And I'm supposed to just be like, yeah, there wasn't a big difference. Okay, there's a new Dunkin' ad that's very tongue-in-cheek and has everything to do with Jennifer Affleck from The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives and this ongoing bit that she has that for a while she was really trying to sell, that she is quote-unquote cousins with Ben Affleck, which apparently isn't true because allegedly his family got very upset by this information. And so now she's teaming up with him on a new Dunkin' ad where she is the quote-unquote value Affleck.
Or Affleck? Affleck?
Expecting my cousin Ben? When Dunkin' has something packed with amazing value, they bring me in. Jen Affleck, the value Affleck.
The value Affleck?
Yep, twice the personality, half the price. I'm a steal, just like Dunkin's $6 meal deal. A coffee, bacon, egg, and cheese, and hash browns for $6? That's value. You know what's not value? Ben. Why overpay for something that nobody wants? He's so dated. I'm younger, hotter. Can you believe Ben's only 53? And it's not like a young 53. It's like a weathered 53.
Rude.
So basically, she's just coming in about how old and decrepit Ben Affleck is. And then, of course, he pulls up in his car that I'm sure he filmed in his own backyard because they had to, like, do one of those close zoom-ins on him. He's like, I don't want to be... He probably has a restraining order against Jen Affleck. And he's looking all glowy and fresh because now he's divorced from the other Jen Affleck. And he's like, no, I'm the real Affleck.
So I was very distracted at the beginning of this story because I was looking at the kneecap jewelry that Elton John had made, right? And because I was like, what does a kneecap look like? So I was like, it would have been so much cooler if the Jennifer would have been Jennifer Garner.
Oh, yeah.
Like if Dunkin' would have partnered with Jennifer Garner to do something. Because, you know, Jennifer Lopez has been in a Dunkin' commercial. Mm-hmm. So why not go ahead and have Jennifer Garner in there?
They cut the last part of that commercial off, but they start ripping on him for being 53. And she says he's got a lot of grays. He's becoming one of my favorite celebrities because he so eagerly makes fun of himself. He doesn't take himself seriously at all. I really like Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and the Jen Affleck thing was a huge storyline on Mormon Wives. But if you want a little fun today, Ben Affleck can speak fluent Spanish, and you should go pull up a video of him speaking fluent Spanish because it sounds like there's a ventriloquist in the room speaking, and it's coming out of Ben Affleck's mouth. It is fascinating to watch.
And it's not AI?
No, he really can speak it, and it's fantastic.
The dude really did go to Harvard, right?
I don't know about that.
A very smart dude.
Yeah, he's smart. No idea.
Isn't that just the plot of Good Will Hunting that
he
worked on?
I think they really went to Harvard together. I think so.
I'm a fact check, though.
Okay.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening.
They did not?
He did not.
Where'd he go?
Matt Damon went to Harvard. Ben did not.
Yeah, but they're such close friends, so we could say Ben went also. I bet he went to visit his friend.
There you go.
So he was on campus.
Yep.
He went to Harvard to visit his friend Matt.
Here, Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hard to know what your kids are up to all the time, especially online. Man, got to do the best you can. Like, if they're playing video games and they're gamers, do you really know what they're doing?
When these words came out of my five-year-old daughter's mouth, my blood froze. My family all likes video gaming, and we, like, let our children have limited screen time. But they play stuff like Animal Crossing, which is very, like... It has cartoon characters in it, Minecraft, but on the create mode, if you're unfamiliar with it, like there are no scary zombies coming after you. It just lets you build things. So kind of things like that. And we always watch them. They'll never play Roblox. That's a really popular one, but you can't cut off communication with other people. So we're very careful about the games that they get to choose. They don't get to have internet access on them. And they're games that my husband and I have played. So we're familiar with them, except Not always. And I'm sharing the story today so you know, even if you think you know, you have no idea. So my daughter is playing Minecraft. And Minecraft, if you're unfamiliar, is like an open world building game. You have all these different materials like blocks. There are trees around. There are animals. So she's building skyscrapers. She's building gardens. She's building like corrals for pet animals that she's collecting. And it's really cool to watch her just explore this 3D creativity. My husband and I played Minecraft years and years ago, so we're very familiar. And we're like, you're on the safe mode, the easy one. There's nothing to be scared of because she's only five. So we're still kind of trying to protect her from the really scary elements because we want to sleep through the night. We don't want to deal with that. And I don't want to deal with the trauma when she's an adult. And it was like, remember when you let a zombie attack me in Minecraft when I was five? Thanks, Mom. So really being careful. So we're talking to her about Minecraft and she has an iPad. Again, super locked down, parental controls. It's a hand-me-down. Don't come at me. I didn't go buy my five-year-old an iPad. So it's an older version. So it's really locked down. And so we're talking to her about Minecraft and she's allowed to play it on long car trips. So she's playing it and she's telling us all about what she's building. And she's so excited. She's about, I mean, what she's building is incredible. I'll post a video later, but it's like, I couldn't do it. And then she's telling me how excited she is because she has 1,000 rabbits. She collected a couple of rabbits in the game and they multiplied and she has 1,000 of them in a corral. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You love rabbits. And she's
also
like,
sounds like real life.
Yeah, 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 it does. And the thing about my daughter is white bunny rabbits are her absolute favorite animal. So she is thrilled to the nines that she has, her character has 1,000 of her favorite animal in the game. And she's talking to it to us about it. And then she goes, yeah, but they died. And I was like, already, I'm like, what do you mean they died? Now I have to deal. Your grandmother died and now 1,000 of your favorite animal died. Like, this is not going to go well. So I'm already like, what do you mean? They can't die. You're in the easy mode. This shouldn't be happening. She's like, yeah, I also had a wolf. It killed them all.
Oh,
their eyes were black. Then they turned red and they died. Oh. And I was like, okay. What okay. is happening? And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm the worst mother on earth. Like, I thought this was a safe game. And my five-year-old's, like, rabbits just died a violent, gruesome death because she decided to also try and keep a pet wolf in this video game. And now I have to talk to her more about death and how wolves eat rabbits. And then that leads to the conversation of, well, why do they eat rabbits? Why would it eat an animal? Then I'm like, P.S., guess what humans eat? Animals. She's like, I don't want to eat anything alive. And I'm like, do I have a shocker for you? Yeah. You know those plants you eat? Also alive. Chicken is that chicken. And so it's like, it made me go down this rabbit hole. And I'm like,
ha, 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 rabbit hole.
Ah, but I'm so now I'm like, not only did my kid's virtual pet rabbits die a violent death, I have to also tell her the chicken that she's eating is the chicken outside. And those are conversations we should have had. She should have put them together, but I'm weak and I just want things to be easy for my child. Blame me, I'm the mother. So the point is, pay attention. And if you think you know, you don't. And one day you're going to have 1,000 rabbit funerals. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the rabbit funerals were happening. There was no eulogy given for fake rabbits in a video game.
You're not safe anywhere, man.
Don't let your kids online.
You're not safe anywhere.
The Burt Show.
Man, has her star risen over the last couple of years. Heather McMahon, comedian, actress. She just can do everything, right? And she's just one of these women that I watch online and I'm like, I want to be her friend. If you are like that, you can pay.
Yes.
You can pay to have her as your friend.
Yeah. And all the money goes to Bert's Big Adventure. So it's a win-win. Our kiddos that we take every year to Disney with chronic and terminal illnesses, you're going to, you know, with your donation, buy them souvenirs, pay for their tickets. It's, you know, pay for everything to get them there. And you get to hang out with Heather McMahon. So our Avalon Noon Tonight Fashion Benefit is going down this Thursday. We would love for you to be there. General admission tickets still available. However, if you aren't able to attend, don't worry. Go to birdsbigadventure.org. We have a silent auction for the night, and it's eligible for anybody who wants to go online. So, yes, there is a dinner for six. So you and friends get to hang out with Heather McMahon at Storico Fresco. And she did this last year for us. They had the best time. The photos were amazing. They say she's just as lovely in person as she is on her Netflix specials or on the Emmys red carpet. So if you want a chance to hang out with your parasocial friend, Heather McMahon, by all means, go to birdsbigadventure.org.
Yeah, Heather is the kind of person that owns a room. As soon as she walks into it, she will own the table also. She's not going to be a celebrity that's going to be on her phone all the time scrolling. No, this is going to be a real dinner, man. And we've got so many other great silent auction items that we'll get into tomorrow also. Like, if you're thinking about a vacation, five-night stay at Seagrove Beach in a luxurious, luxurious place, we'll explain it all tomorrow. But you don't even have to be there. All you got to do is go online and start bidding now at birdsbigadventure.org. All right, so there are some industries that just have more sociopaths than others.
So radio. I'm sorry.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. That was just that. I just sneezed. Sorry.
So I just needed to, again, a definition of sociopath just before we go into this. So it's a term used to describe a person with antisocial personality disorder, lack of empathy and remorse, manipulative behavior, impulsive and reckless actions, violation of social norms. Not somebody you probably want to hang out on a date.
No. I know what professions breed the most sociopaths because I personally ran into one. And I need you guys to tell me if you think I overreacted. I did not, but you can chime in. So I recently had my annual at the gyno.
Okay.
I have a relatively new boyfriend. So I was like, okay, let me get checked up on all manner of STIs just to see. My gynecologist literally asked me if I had a new boyfriend. I said yes. Asked me if I wanted to get tested. I said yes. And she said, good, don't trust men. And then immediately seemed to regret saying that. But she asked me if I wanted the big one. And I was like, what have I been getting before? The small STD test? So I got the big STD test.
What's the difference?
Well, so you can look. There's certain STIs or STDs. Like, you can choose the ones you want them to test for.
Okay. Yeah.
But I've never heard a medical practitioner refer to it as the big one.
Yeah, you can have all of them.
She called it, quote unquote, the big one. So spoiler alert, I don't have HIV or Hep C or anything like that. Shout out, Kyle. Couldn't have done that without you. That's not the issue. The issue was I went to the phlebotomist to get my blood drawn at the gynecologist. And let me just say, I am an expert at getting my blood drawn at this point with my health history. Sure. I've gotten my blood drawn more than like a Victorian woman suffering from hysteria. I am very familiar with bloodletting. So I know when it's done well and I know when it's done badly.
Right. Do you always, so, because I too have had my fair share of blood draws thanks to infertility. So you know a good stick from a bad stick.
Yes.
I always make sure to compliment them when it's a good stick. Because I feel like nobody does that. Like, who compliments the person who's doing their lab draw? So anytime it's a good stick, I'm like, I just want you to know that I have done this quite a few times and you stuck me very well. Thank you.
I bet they love hearing that they stuck you very well.
Right?
Thank you for saying it was a good stick.
Right? I always tell them that.
I went in on a Sunday morning one time because I was so hungover to one of those places that gives you, you know, fluids and stuff like that because you dehydrated yourself so badly. She looks at my arm and my veins are really, really... You should see nurses. They get so excited because it's going to be such an easy stick. So she looks at it and she's like, oh man, I don't even have to work today. Can I tell you that she missed it three times?
Are you kidding?
She had to go in, out, in, out, in, out with three different needles. I was going out of my mind. It's the only part of getting stuck that really bothers me. And it was going in and out, in and out, in and out. She was so embarrassed.
Oh, she had to. She jinxed herself, man.
Yeah. Well, that's very kind of you, Kristen. I've never done that because honestly, I got used to having really good blood draws. Shout out every nurse at Emory Winship Cancer Institute. They know what they're doing. This phlebotomist did not. The second she pulled out the syringe, I was looking at it and I was like, does it have to be that big? Is it because it's the big one? I don't know.
They need more blood?
I don't know because I didn't have that much blood taken from me relatively. But as soon as she stuck me, I knew it was over. You just know. I felt like a fish on the end of a hooking line.
Oh my God.
I hate that. Yes.
So I have sent you all an email with a photo of what this nurse did to me. And I want you to take a look.
Is it going
to
be completely and totally bruised? Mine's not downloading.
Mine's not loading.
Oh,
either.
Jesus.
Oh, there it is. Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. She bruised you up good.
Oh,
yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like going right up the vein.
It's like a Pollock painting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like one of those weather maps when you see that a storm is coming. You see the big red in the middle of radar.
So here's my question. Yeah. You as a phlebotomist, this is your one job. So hot take, I think you did it on purpose. I know what you are. You get off on this, you pervert.
Were they really young? Like, is it possible they were a new phlebotomist?
She was a middle-aged woman. She didn't speak a word to me. Also, she was very clinical with it. She was in and out. But no, I 100% think that she got into the job as a sociopath to hurt people.
All right. So because you in your head, I'm seeing how like all the I'm now witnessing the synapses in your brain.
Yes.
So you go through this. I'm so glad for your negative results. Again, shout out to the boyfriend. So all this happens and you're like, she's a sociopath. And then you're like, I wonder what jobs have the most sociopath. And exactly. So then you looked it up.
Exactly what I did. I Googled, are phlebotomists sociopaths? they did not make the cut so far. Not yet. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to see if you guys can guess who is in the top 10. What careers breed the most sociopaths?
Well, based on the description that I gave initially, I would say radio.
Something in entertainment feels like that would be the case.
I'd say radio, TV, performing arts, producers.
Radio is specifically noted at number 3.
I am not surprised, not in the least.
I'm going to guess finance, those finance bros, Wall Street.
Specifically ones in the big 4.
Yes. Finance is not on the list.
I have a guess, surgeons.
Surgeons? Number 5.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with content creators, influencers.
I would put that in number 3 with media. I think that counts.
CEOs or business owners.
CEOs are number 1.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I have another guess. Military?
Military. Oh. Military's not on the list.
Police officers?
Police officers, number 7.
Pilots.
Pilots. Mm. No, pilots are not on the list.
It feels to me like anybody that has like a total control job.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're in control of everything.
You have to have like a God complex.
Yeah, 100% a God complex.
What else you got?
For a surgeon, not a bad thing. I want my surgeon to have a God complex.
100%. I agree. I completely agree. Okay, so down the list, number 1 CEO, 2 lawyer, which is my entire family. They're all lawyers.
Does it track for you?
I think it does. Okay. 3 media, TV/radio, 4 salesperson, 5 surgeon, 6 journalist, 7 police officer, 8 clergy person?
Clergy person?
Like pastors?
I guess so.
Yeah, somebody high up in religion.
You know what? I actually, that tracks.
9 chef. Which is really interesting to me.
Yes, chef.
And then 10 civil servants.
A civil servant is not a sociopath. Get out of here with this list.
You just ruined the other 9.
Let me dedicate my life to helping the community. I'm also a sociopath.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.